So, why do lesbians like hiking so much?
Wow, that's a good question. I would not call it anywhere near a theory. I have a guess, and it's only a guess. I mean, not obviously. Many lesbians don't like hiking. I think I'm looking at one right now.
I don't mind hiking.
Okay.
I hiked with you today.
You did. We did some decent hiking.
I hiked 6,000 steps today.
That's excellent.
And I complained the whole time.
Well, but you're entitled to complain when you're hiking.
And we saw a lot of lesbians.
We saw a lot of people that we, in our own heads, assume
yes, those
were lesbians.
Are lesbians.
Although, certainly there are often tells. The two who were wearing all the rainbow stuff and were making out, just joking. We did not see anyone like that.
I was going to say, did I miss something? Dang, I want to see that.
A gay friend of mine told me that, she understood that I was gay, but she also kind of understood that my life as a lesbian was going to be blossoming and changing once my transition was further along. She said, you'll find that camping, as she put it, you know, I'm a hiker, I think of camping as backpacking, but she wasn't talking about that. She just said, you'll find that camping, that lesbians love camping.
So interesting.
And it's a thing, she said, and I was unaware of that. Some of the erotica I've read takes place in a camping setting, in a tent setting, but I don't know. I think a lot of lesbians, especially ones kind of unlike me, who are more into the physical, you know, it's not, some of them are into sports. Some of us are into sports.
True.
I think, I don't know. Do you think it's true that more men are into sports than women?
Yes.
I think we all think that.
I think men are forced to like sports so they can talk about something that's not their
Well, sports. Boy, I have a story about that, but I'm not going to tell it at this moment. But, you know, I have a close relative. My daughter loves her football team, professional football team. Another woman I know that same age is all over her local professional baseball team. I think that's different from a lot of guys who will settle in at 1 o'clock or 12:30 or 12 o'clock on a Sunday and expect to be sitting on the couch watching football until 7, don't you?
I guess. Maybe it's just time to spend in their nothing box.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about the nothing box some other time. In any event, I think maybe hiking and camping are an outdoorsy physical outlet for people who are not into sports. That was going to be the long and short guess of mine, but I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe people who enjoy physical exercise but not competition.
Right. You know, I kind of have always enjoyed pushing myself. I used to be a runner and I blew my knee out and I could no longer run, and then I discovered hiking, and it's just a way of pushing myself and getting exhilarated and going up to the tops of mountains, and I don't know. But that's different from camping. I don't know. Anyway, we saw a lot of hikers today. Also love the outdoors.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for that pileated woodpecker or that coyote or that, you know.
We didn't see any wildlife today except for that chicken that ran by the road.
Yeah, I wouldn't call, you know, all those Aberdeen Angus cattle.
No, not wildlife.
Wildlife.
No. Nor the horses either. No Dalmatians today, though. It's too bad.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. Any listeners have an idea why lesbians love hiking and camping?
Email us at transinthesouthpod@gmail.com.
Maybe we don't have any lesbian listeners.
I'm sure there's got to be some. From transgender surgeries, maybe they're all hetero?
Well, I don't know. Who knows?
If you're a lesbian and you listen to our podcast, please just let us know.
We'd like to know.
We'd like to know, because we're lesbians.
What else on that?
That's all. I was just trying to get a little interesting something to put at the beginning.
Well, I know. I wonder, because we did see on our hike today, should I say where we were?
No.
Okay. We were on a hike on a location where movie have been filmed that you have heard of, and probably a movie that you have seen was filmed there, and we'll be going back.
I can't wait. I'm kind of into those movies. Today is November 18th, 2020. I'm Jem.
And I'm Jules.
And you're listening to Trans in the South.
Trans in the South podcast. I have been out of surgery now for just over 5 weeks.
Woo!
I know.
Life is almost back to normal.
Well, it's getting better. So, first of all, next Monday, I have my 6-week follow-up call with Papillon Center. We'll find out where I've sent them photos.
That was fun.
Of what my post-surgical body looks like, the surgical area of it.
And it looks like a vagina.
It really does look like one.
It's like it is one. Because it is one.
And because it is, it looks like one with some stitches in it.
Dr. McGinn did a great job. It looks real good.
Dr. McGinn just did an amazing job. So one of the things that they've talked about at 6 weeks, I think 6 to 8 weeks, is sex.
Woohoo! My favorite.
It is your favorite. By the way, we really are not telling family and friends about this podcast, but we think they're going to recognize our voices if they
happen to find it.
And if you are family, particularly friends, you know, you're on your own, but if you're family, you may not want to listen to the parts where I'm talking about sex, because I'm going to be talking frankly and fully about it.
Yay!
And if you don't want to think of your relative, whoever it is, in this regard, now's the time to switch to a different podcast.
Just listen to a different episode.
So, but they are telling us that I can probably start to return to sex at 6 to 8 weeks. That is this coming Tuesday, is 6 weeks. As I have said on here a number of times before, until surgery, I was on spironolactone for 3 years, almost exactly 3 years to the day. And my libido has been, since a month or two after that point, pretty much non-existent. And so it was hard to remember almost what a libido was like. I could remember what it was looking at at porn or reading an erotic novel, what other people thought it was, but I didn't remember much about what it felt like. And needless to say, I stopped taking spironolactone at the time of the surgery, and I don't know what, three, four weeks ago, I started taking a little bit, rubbing it on my thigh.
Testosterone.
And,
sorry, there's a truck backing up.
And it was prepared for me by, what do they call, some kind of pharmacy.
Compounding pharmacy.
Compounding pharmacy. Dr. McGinn told me that it might help my libido return, and in fact, it has helped my libido return, and it's nothing like I was when I was, had the body of a 20-year-old man, but it's there, and I can now imagine wanting sex.
Hallelujah!
And not only can I imagine it, I do want sex, and I'm, as opposed to what I thought 3 weeks ago, I really am ready for it. So, in case you're getting, you're at some point where you're 2 or 3 weeks post-surgery and you can't imagine wanting sex, if you're back on T, back on testosterone, I'm just telling you that it might come back to you. In my experience, my very recent experience...
this morning...
It's a much different phenomenon. It's a much different experience from sex as a guy.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I will in a second. Let me explain, though, that I'm not allowed to actually have sex, nor kind of do I want to have the full experience right now, because there are things down there that still cause me some pain. Slight pain, but enough to kill the mood. But it was, you know, there was some kind of proto-sex, I might almost call it, going on this morning. I have never felt this kind of out-of-body experience, or maybe in-body experience, with a guy's body. It was so different. It was just, I just felt sensuous and luxurious and like it's all I ever wanted. And it wasn't, I'm not saying there wasn't a genital component, but, you know, for those of you who are listening and who are thinking male to female transitioning and for whom there may be surgery, vulvovaginal surgery or whatever they call it.
Vulvovaginoplasty.
If it works for you the way it worked for me, it's a different concept of sex. I am a very, very romantic person. I may have mentioned before, I am demisexual and certainly demiromantic. This is so different. I wasn't thinking about how much I wanted to get off. I was thinking about how much I wanted to cling to the person I was having sex with and or proto-sex or whatever we were having. And so, by the way, I don't think I've mentioned, I got an object in the mail earlier
you
this week.
You ordered an object. It's not like it appeared at your house.
It didn't appear, just appear.
The dildo fairy did not visit and put
we
it in the mailbox.
We have talked about the dildos, and we did.
We did?
I think we've discussed dildos last time. Anyway, this one came instead of dilating with the big dilator, I dilated with this one this time. It's softer and it's more squishable.
It has a great skin-like feel to it.
And so I just want to tell you that, at least for me, maybe not for anybody else, but at least for me, it was an utterly different experience from anything I've almost ever felt before. I must say, my first kiss ever was a pretty transcendental experience. But possibly other than that, I just have never been transported the way I was today. So,
and if you're wondering, it's made by Avant. And I can't remember the D series, which number it is, but it's one of them.
I don't know the number. It turns out that they make an identical one in
lesbian flag.
In lesbian pride colors.
But they were out of stock, so.
But they were out of stock. I mean, you know, I think when you're flying to the stars and the planets, you're not really thinking about the color of what's going on down there. But
it's cute.
It is cute. And this one's cute. It's what? Pink and purple and blue.
Teal, yeah.
Yeah, teal.
Or maybe it's light blue.
Or maybe like an aqua or something.
It's really cute.
It's really cute.
It's only like 5.5 inches long.
Right. It's about that. And
it's the same circumference as your blue soul source.
Yeah,
one,
it's
right?
The same claims to be the same circumference as it's 1.25 inch.
Yeah, I think so. It's just the cutest little thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess my point is, if you're in your first 3 weeks after or 4 weeks after surgery, or you get there at some point and you're still not feeling particularly sexual, don't give up.
Yeah.
Because it may happen. And I'm looking for a fuller experience later on when the external pain kind of dies down.
And that is getting better, too.
And that's improving every day.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed whatever sexual activity is available. And it's hard not to want to do more than her body will allow at the moment. But I'm trying to be really careful. But my toppy side is like, go for all the things. And I have to be like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah, you really have to listen to her and make sure that she's comfortable and stop when she wants to stop and all that.
Yeah, that's not hard. Dilating is still a major part of my life. Although, what we think a little bit less than 3 weeks in the future, I'm going to be able to drop from 4 times a day to 3 times a day.
Won't that be great?
That'll be nice. It's just going to free up a lot more of my day if I do one shortly before bed and one not too long after I get up and one in the early afternoon. That's really going to free up larger blocks of my day. Mm-hmm. It's hard to understand because, at least with Dr. McGinn, you're dilating for half an hour, that, you know, there's preparation. And afterwards, there's, you know, it's not like the half an hour's up and you're off on the treadmill. Or,
right.
You know.
It's a good 45-minute process.
It's at least a 45-minute process. So that's four times a day. You know, it's 3 hours a day and it's spaced out.
Oh, yeah. Pausing for phone call.
In three more weeks, we'll be down to three times a day dilating, and that's just going to be, for some people, it's painful. For some people, it's not. It can be discomforting at times for me. And but more than that, it's just the inconvenience to the day. It's just like you're doing it now, and you just feel like you're done, and you're getting ready to do it again. And three times is just going to be so much better. And looking forward to next April when it's once a day.
Yes.
And then next October when it's once a week. Okay.
Was that all?
That's all I have right now.
Oh, okay.
Anything else from you?
I don't think so at the moment.
All right, everybody. Again, we like hearing from our listeners. Particularly, we're encouraging any lesbians who are listening to this to let us know, because we'd like to know.
Tell us why you like hiking or don't like hiking.
Tell us what your thoughts about hiking are. That's transinthesouthpod.
POD@gmail.com. And stay tuned for the next episode soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.